Pardon?
How do I do it? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll wait for the noise to pass. So I'm Jenna Brown. I work for the Alameda County Public Health Department. And the person that's really the brain of this project and visionary is Hillary Larkin. Hillary's a physician assistant that works at the Highland Hospital, which is a county public-funded hospital. And she works there with family violence, domestic visits. She sees these patients, and what her idea was to collect really good data so that people could know what was going on in the county, but also as a way to really coordinate services, make sure the women and the men that are visiting the hospitals are getting the resources quickly as they need it. And I'll also be talking about her expansion of what her work that she did at Highland Hospital. My role in this was really just to do data analysis. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'll be talking a little bit about patterns or characteristics of family violence-related visits to the emergency room. And then I'm hoping to sort of start stimulating thoughts about what the potential role of emergency room can play in preventing family violence. As Annie was talking about, sometimes it's hard when you're a service provider, something's already happened, and what at the very least we want to do at the emergency department is make sure that the patients are safe afterwards, but start thinking about how we could prevent this violence from reoccurring. And then ultimately, this tool is going to be expanded to all 13 hospitals in Alameda County and talk about the advantages of having something like that. So every 2 years, the Public Health Department puts together a domestic violence report, and we collect all the data that we have in the county, what little of it we had. And this 1 year, I was able to get from Hillary the emergency room visits to the Highland Hospital that were related to family violence. So one of the things that's great about working with Hillary is that she has ideas what she wants to do with the data. So when you're coming in cold and not very familiar with the field, to have someone that designed the data collection and couldn't do the data analysis but had specific ideas of how you could use this data. And then I'll be talking about plans for expansion. So we know, important problem, often underreported, unrecognized, about 25% of women and almost 8% of men report that they were raped or physically assaulted by their current or former partner. And there isn't universal family screening, and most providers don't screen for family violence. So in the county, and this the report that I show on the cover is available on our website, that every year over 13,000 calls are made to battered women shelters, 7,500 domestic violence-related calls are made to law enforcement, and there are 3,000 temporary restraining orders that are filed. So a real gamut of, these are at the end. I mean, this really shows shows the severity of the situation. So the background of this project is that there became mandatory reporting laws for domestic violence in 1994, and the hospitals or clinics became responsible for notifying police in writing within 72 hours of the incident, and they needed to provide the name of the name of the patient, whereabouts, and extent of injuries, and the same information about the suspect. So in reporting this, one of the challenges is that every hospital has its own domestic violence reporting form, and there's no standardized form for collecting this information. And while there are different services available at the hospital for the patients that are presenting themselves at the hospital, there's a wide variability in when they're at the hospital. A lot of family visit-related visits to the emergency room are late at night when a lot of the services are closed. So really one of the goals of this project was to test a standardized form. Hillary looked at all the forms that different hospitals were using and took the best information from each one. So as I said, the name of the hospital is Highland Hospital. It's in Oakland. And the information that's on the form is the mandated information, but also it contains fields that looks at the circumstances of injury. It also asks about whether there's a history of domestic violence, but previous domestic violence. It asks whether there were children in the home and whether there was already a temporary restraining order that was filed. So it's been collected since 1994. This analysis was 11 years of data, and it's 1,500 forms. So 70% of the victims and 75% of the assailants were between the ages of 21 and 45. The ages ranged from 8 years old to 86, and almost the same range for assailants. So you have 14 to 80 years old. So in some of these cases, we have children that are hitting or battering their older relatives or parents. Now, 16% of the victims were male, and 16% of the perpetrators were female. So one of the fields looks at the relationship of the assailant to the victim. So for 82% of the assailants were male. So in 78% of the cases, males assaulted a female. There are 4% of males assaulting males. This could be a same-sex relationship, but it could also be brother to brother or brother to uncle. Or I'll break down the relationship in the next slide. So 17% of the assailants were female. So this is the relationship of the perpetrator to the victim. So I grouped them a little bit. So from the most case, it was boyfriend to girlfriend, husband to wife. I'll give you a moment to look at that. At the bottom, immediate family members, it was brothers, sisters, mother, father, son. And other relative was brother-in-law, uncle, cousin. One of the things that I noticed from this was that 85% of the cases was by a partner or former partner, and if you add up like boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, wife, 71% were assaulted by their partner and 14% by their ex-partner. And this is also true in domestic violence death, but one of the things I really jumps out is that men are more likely to assault their ex-girlfriend or wife, whereas women generally don't. There's only 1% of the cases where the woman went back, had severed the relationship and had assaulted their former partner. And this brings up something that we had talked about at a session yesterday, where even though you see a higher number than you might expect of women who are the assailants, the severity might be very different, and the profile of an assailant is very different. So the severity of the injuries may be very different as well. So I'm trying to think about what some of the policy, like what you can do actually do with this data. What kind of policy can you change? I looked at the people that visited the hospital, and I went and looked at the death file to see that, you know, was it the case, it was a sort of fear of Hillary's, that the women were coming in getting treatment and then later a year or two down the line were ending up dead. And what we really obviously want to prevent violence from happening to begin with, but we also want to stop these horror stories. So I went back and looked, and there were two cases of women who are later killed in a family violence related homicide. So that kind of brings up the issue, is there a way at the emergency room to identify and follow up high risk patients? The second thing that from the data showed that 75% of the patients visited the emergency room outside regular business hours. So if the shelters are already closed, where are the women going? So it brought up the issue of making a recommendation of extending the hours of family violence services. So we'll be exploring that a little more. The other thing was just sort of the looking at the profile of the victims. Men accounted for 16% of hospital family violence-related visits, and 13% of the family violence deaths were child-parent homicide. So just to be very aware of, not to make too many assumptions about why someone's at the hospital, and being able to really identify non-typical cases. So the next steps for this project is to expand to all the hospitals in Alameda County. And one of the things that the task force was saying is that the emergency rooms are really busy, and it's really hard to find the form and provide up-to-date resources to the people that are presenting at the hospital. So they may give the number for a women's shelter, but it's already out to date. It's hard to find paper. So the idea was to have it all on a computer. It would use technology to comply with the California mandatory reporting laws, so you would get that information in there. It would be a seamless service delivery, because I'll explain that that this form will be faxed to the police department immediately and not wait to the 72 hours that might otherwise be that's given, and also to a one-stop center that's called the Family Justice Center that has provides services to family violence. So in doing this, it would provide better the short term and long term needs of the survivors of family violence, and then also provide the county with standardized and coordinated data collection. So this is already in the beta stage. It's a web-based system. It's secure, fully compliant, and it's easy to update the information. So there are several web pages on this website. It gives DV resources for patients in multiple languages. So all the resources are up there. All the phone numbers are up there and can be easily updated. It also has the domestic violence mandated report and has a danger assessment tool and an attempt to measure the severity and the likelihood of the violence reoccurring. Although you have to say that if a woman or man is presenting at the emergency room for injuries, they're already at very high risk for reoccurrence. And then the system provides a copy to the police immediately and to the Family Justice Center, and then periodically to the health department. So that's me in an aggregated form. So it provides it to the Alameda County information about the client to the Alameda County Family Justice Center, which is a one-stop assistance center for victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and their children. It has services, a wide range of services from legal assistance, which is extremely important, to job training, health care, counseling service, access to shelters, and police services. And since they've opened in 2005, they've provided over 30,000 services. So the advantages of having such a reporting system is that they're, as I mentioned, they have up-to-date domestic violence resources. They're easy to find, to update, and to print. So therefore, it makes it the life easier for healthcare professionals and the police. It's a quick response and allows the Alameda County Family Justice Center and the police to have a quick follow-up. And from the data point of view, it provides standardized data collection and countywide statistics. So what we're hoping is that it provides the DV client with quick access to resources and better follow-up, which would mean that they're better served. So some of the challenges of this project is that because of HIPAA and particularly for hospitals, there have been a lot of security concerns about having sensitive information. So the web designers are able to customize the level of security that each hospital wants. So some people, I mean, it's very interesting where what stops a process from moving forward. And just the fact that some hospitals wanted one login screen that would remain open and not shut down, versus another hospital that wanted it the screen to lock up within 5 minutes just to make sure they preserve the confidentiality. So it's really been customized to each hospital needs. The other challenge is that there's so many players, even just putting this resource together. These are the people that sit from the advisory board. Hillary's gotten buy-in from all the different hospitals and from the Family Justice Center, and also support from the Family Violence Law Center and our district attorney. So for more information about, or to download copies of this report, I've left the website there. Yes, there it is. Website, www.acphd.org. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next presentation is... I'd like to introduce Dr. Nicole Schneider. She's from the Department of Medicine at Harbor UCLA Medical Center in Torrance, California, and her presentation is entitled Domestic Violence and Low Birth Weight and Preterm Birth in Los Angeles County.
Hello. So my name is Nicole Schneider. I'm trained in internal medicine, but I'm giving a little talk today on some of the long-term effects of domestic violence. We already heard about prevention. We heard about what happens in the acute